listening to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, producer Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. A new report is out. It's called the Kids Count Survey, and we wanted to go to the source and find out about the survey and what it says about the well-being of the children in our state. Going out on the phone now to Jane Zender Merrill, who is the project director of Kids Count and also with the Michigan League for Human Services. Good evening, Jane. How are you?
I'm fine, Cheryl. Thank you.
Very good. Why don't we start with what the Kids Count Survey is?
It's an annual data book that we bring out that looks at all domains of child well-being, economic security, health, education, and across different age groups, adolescents, and what's happening at the very time of birth. And we publish profiles not only of Michigan, but of the 83 counties as well as the city of Detroit.
Very good. And so this survey has just come out again for this year?
It has.
And some of it's not such good news for the children in Michigan. The survey now says that a fifth of Michigan's children are living in poverty, and that's up from an eighth a decade ago. Is this, you know, it sounds too simplistic, but this stems from the economy in the state? Is that where we start?
Sure. Michigan really never came out of the recession that happened or the economic turnaround that happened in early 2000, actually. And this sustained unemployment, relatively high unemployment rate, the devastating blow to the car industry in the state, these have all had a tremendous impact on child well-being. And we see it, as you mentioned, very dramatically in this percentage of children. It's now 23% of all children are living in poverty, which means essentially an income below $22,000 for a family of four.
Now, the ramifications of this, of a study like this and finding these findings are huge. They come across in areas you may not think of at first. I mean, certainly with eating and so forth, and in education and so forth. But abuse and neglect, the study found, has gone up pretty dramatically as well.
Right. We saw a 25% increase in confirmed victims, child victims of abuse neglect. And this is not unrelated to poverty, not that poor families abuse their children more. They certainly come to the attention of the state more because they interact with state workers, and they also are much more marginal in terms of their ability to hold on to housing and in their own physical well-being. And nutritional issues become an issue when we have so many families that are so marginal. This also has an impact on the stress levels for the parents. We hear constantly these statistics about for every one job, there's 5 to 6 applicants. It's very discouraging, particularly for low-income workers who are often in the retail and the restaurant and the hotel trade that feel the effects very quickly of these economic downturns.
Well, what I think is important about the study as well is even wording, and it's not semantics, because it talks about a child's well-being, not just you know, a statistic, but about well-being, and that's obviously by design.
Yes, and we also like to emphasize that it's all aspects of a child's life that have an impact. It's, you know, lots of these statistics have been published before, but for example, the MEEP, the reading proficiency, but we put them all in one place and present a rounded view of what's happening to kids in a particular locality. And we hear a lot now about how critical education achievement is to turning the Michigan economy around, and I don't think there's anybody that disagrees that we need to strengthen the outcomes for kids so that more kids can attain in education. But clearly, if the other systems aren't functioning, like public health and the child welfare system and economic support programs, kids will not be prepared to learn when they come to school.
Of course, something, you know, easy to picture is that, you know, you can't learn if you're hungry. I mean, that's just
Absolutely.
One of the basics.
That, absolutely, absolutely. And another area, we have another area is oral health. We have a lot of data about how many kids are dying county by county, but we can only look at the state level on some of these issues like asthma, the percentage of kids that are suffering from asthma. We know that this is a chronic problem that has to be managed with medical people who know how to calibrate the dosage of these medications that control the symptoms. We also have relatively high obesity rates. We have relatively high lead poisoning in this state. So there's a lot of issues that affect the health of children and their ability to be productive in school that don't necessarily show up in the data in the county profiles. But we need to make the connection, connect the dots, and make the investments that make it possible for kids to succeed in school.
You mentioned during the Kids Count survey, you talk about conditions of all aspects of a child's life, including it at birth. One of the other interesting statistics was the number of babies with low birth weight was higher in this latest survey.
Yes, that's true. And we've seen also, even though the infant mortality rate has improved slightly, this is over a relatively long trend period, so we're not making much of a dent in infant mortality and bringing down that rate. And we're very pleased, actually, to see that the governor has selected the infant mortality rate, the child poverty rate, as indicators that he wants to make changes. He wants to see improvements on these indicators and also to see improvements on the percentage of children who are able to read by the end of third grade, because we know how critical that is, that kids can read by the end of third grade, because after third grade, they need to be able to read in order to learn. And if they don't have that skill, they just keep falling further and further behind as they progress through the grades.
There were some bright spots in the Kids Count report survey this year fourth graders and seventh graders were doing better on standardized reading tests was one of those areas.
Yes, we have made great strides in lifting kids up to our current standards here in Michigan, but let me hasten to add that we have the fourth lowest standards in the country, and in fact, the school board, the state school board, voted today to raise those standards so that we get a more accurate reflection of what proficiency is, because our proficiency standard is so low that it doesn't really tell children and parents and communities whether these kids are ready, career ready or college ready. And we know that in order to get a job that pays a decent wage, really kids need to be able to go on to post-secondary education to learn some set of skills so that they can compete in the job market. The other area where we've seen tremendous and sustained improvement is in lowering our teen birth rate, which is great. The problem is that we still have 12,000 teens a year who give birth under the and they are under the age of 20, and they tend to lack a high school diploma. And having a baby and the responsibilities of parenthood make it more difficult to get that credential and go on to post-secondary education. The other indicator, the other two indicators around teenagers, the dropout rate and the teen death rate, have also improved. So we are making some progress. I think there's a lot to be said for parents and family members and communities and programming that has gone into making this kind of improvement.
And how is this survey used? I mean, we have the information. Is it intended for those from our governor to agencies throughout the state to study this information and see areas that need improvement?
All the way. All the way from the governor to the citizenry, because citizens need to know what's happening in their communities and in their counties and in the state as a whole, so that we can hold our policymakers accountable if the kinds of policy decisions they're making, the kind of budget priorities they're putting in place, aren't leading to the well-being of our children, then we need to question what is being done and what we could do better.
And we hear the cliche, children are our future, but in this study, and I think people lose sight of what that really means. And a study like this brings it back to a focus on the children being an investment. And if we want the state to get better, we've got to invest in them.
Absolutely. And that's why we bring this out every single year, to keep the issue in front of policymakers as well as citizens, to be thinking about this, because there's lots of important decisions that are being made at the state and local levels. We hear lots of talk of budget cuts, and we are looking at some pretty huge cutbacks that have been made over the last decade. We've already cut literally billions of dollars out of our state budget. Many of those benefited children and families. So we're looking very carefully to see what kind of a budget proposal the governor is going to propose next week.
And if what would you like to see, some steps that you would like to see as a result of this survey and knowing what you know?
I certainly would like to see the governor strengthen some of the systems that we have in place, the child welfare system to protect children, child health system. We've cut a lot of programming in maternal and infant health. And these are very difficult economic times. We need some family support programs in place to help people provide for their families both food and the cash assistance program, the emergency services program. All of these have a really critical role to play. And many families have lost access to health insurance because it's linked to their employment. In Michigan, we've done a great job of getting kids covered by Medicaid, but if we continue to cut payments to the doctors who provide that care and health, other health care providers who provide care to these families, it will just become a paper promise, and children will not get the vital preventive care that they need during their growing up years.
Well, Jane, some thought-provoking information. It's a very informative study and one that we all need to take note of. I appreciate your time to tell us about it this evening. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Cheryl, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thanks.
Jane Zender-Merrill, Project Director of Kids Count, Michigan League of Human Services. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.